Chapter 18.
The leaf was big and wet and glowed with the oranges and reds of autumn. I found it stuck to the seat of my Harley on a Saturday morning. It made me sad when the leaves began to fall. I wanted another beginning, another chance. I hated the thought of putting my Harley away for the winter. It was dangerous for me to ride. I'd been driving without a license for 3 years now, but I lived to cruise on that bike. It was my joy and my freedom. There are only two things I looked forward to every day: pumping iron at the nearby YMCA and whipping into the wind astride my motorcycle. When my alarm jangled in the morning, I awoke, feeling small and terrified. I couldn't find myself in my own life. There was no memory of me that I could grasp. There was no place outside of me where I belonged. So, every morning, I willed myself back into existence. I went to the gym already dressed in sweat clothes, and that's where I brought my tension and my frustration, my rage, and my fear. I put it all into my workout. I thought about my body a lot as I pressed against the resistance of cold iron. I enjoyed getting leaner and harder. Was that a goal the world had taught me? Probably. I thought about my femme lovers, who cursed each thickness and fold in their bodies, the beautiful flesh I loved. But as I watched myself clench my muscles while I pumped, I found the weight and shape of my own body that pleased me. I concentrated on my discipline and endurance. I tried, in the best way I knew how, to love myself. I learned that strength, like height, is measured by who you're standing next to. I was considered a scrawny guy in the gym. That opinion was written on the faces of men whose muscles were bigger than mine. And all the while, the lifetime of cruel judgments about my body and myself throbbed like unhealed wounds. Yet, sometimes, when I stood in front of my own mirror at home, I saw a powerful me. I couldn't hold on to the image, though. It slipped, like a globule of mercury, from my index finger. Maybe that was the lesson I tried to teach myself with each repetition, that power is something qualitatively more than strength, and that the world was wrong about me. I had a right to live. Every day, the men around me came to exercise their bodies. I came to exercise my demons. Euphoria was my reward for the tenacious workout that autumn morning. It was Saturday. There was no place to go. There was nothing to do. I turned up my collar on my leather jacket. Fall was here, and winter was just behind it. The sky was overcast, the clouds were low, flat-bottomed, and a dark bruise. I revved my bike without knowing where I was headed. I had money in my wallet and a whole weekend to ride, as far as gasoline would take me. When the first raindrops plopped on my gas tank, I pulled over and put on my gear. Bolts of lightning illuminated the sky over the park. I loved dramatic weather. It was the excitement that made one day different from another. The women in the zoo entrance booth were enjoying a lazy day. They waved me in without paying. The condor's head was tilted back into the wind, and her wings were spread wider than my height. I opened my own arms and turned my face towards the sky and laughed. The snowy owl's neck puffed up as I came near, and he huffed as though he was out of breath. I hurried past. Raindrops dripped from the beak of the red-tailed hawk, whose left wing had been sheared by a shotgun blast. She looked miserable. The male eagle was balanced on a branch, his feathers slicked back by rain and wind. He moved with the wind on extended wings as though in flight, eyes focused on the distance. There was no border between his frustration and his madness. For just a moment, he dropped his gaze and held me in the intensity of his golden stare. He looked up again, wildness flashing in his eyes as he flew past. For just a moment, he dropped his gaze and held me in the intensity of his golden stare. He looked up again, wildness flashing in his eyes as he flew through his past on widespread wings. After the storm let up, I rode my motorcycle through the rain-soaked streets, longing for so much I couldn't name. Sometimes mundane tasks stuffed that feeling back down. I decided to go food shopping. The supermarket was packed with women. The conveyor belt at the checkout line wasn't working, so I pushed the food forward as the woman at the cash register rang it up. "That'll be $22.80," she said. I held out a 20 and a 10. She reached for the bills. We caught each other's eyes. I whispered her name out loud. Edna? Funny how, even years later, I still thought of her as Butch Jan's ex-lover, and myself as a baby Butch in her eyes. She searched my eyes. Her face softened. "Jess." The woman behind me in line sighed heavily. "Honey, can we speed this thing up?" The last time I'd seen Edna, I had told her I was too young to be the kind of lover I'd wanted to be for her. Now, life was giving me another chance. I helped her bag my groceries. Neither of us spoke. I pressed my lips together to keep from asking, "Are you with someone?" I thought of a neutral question. "Can we talk?" The woman behind me banged a box of laundry detergent on the conveyor belt and asked Edna, "Honey, do you go on break soon?" Edna looked blankly and nodded. "Then could you please continue your reunion then?" We both laughed. Edna blushed. "I get off at 3:30. It was only 2. I paced the pavement near my Harley, rode figure eights around the parking lot, looked in store windows, stopped for coffee. It was still only 3. At 3:30, I pulled my bike up in front of the supermarket. I wished I had a second helmet. Edna looked my Harley up and down and smiled, as though she liked what she saw. Then she looked at me the same way. "It's good to see you, Jess. How long has it been?" I could have asked her when she broke up with Jan, but I thought better of it. Well, my hand was in that contraption, and we were on strike. I think it was 67, so it's been 12 years. I'm almost 30. Can you believe it? Edna nodded. "That means you're just about the age I was when you thought I was such an old woman." I shook my head. "That's not fair, Edna. The problem was I was too young. I never thought that you were old." Edna took my face in her hands. I felt my cheeks flush. "I'm sorry," she said. "That was my fear." I offered her my helmet. She swung her leg over the bike and settled behind me. Her body felt so damn good against mine. "Where are we going?" she asked. "I don't know." I gently popped the clutch. We ended up at the zoo. The air smelled fresh there, washed by the rain. We walked on a bed of wet leaves, under the lattice work of branches. I ached to hold her hand. We tried to make small talk, but there wasn't anything either of us said that seemed insignificant. I tried to wait before I asked the question clenched in my throat, but I couldn't put it off any longer. I turned to her. "I can't take another step till I ask you a question." She shook her head shyly. "No." "No, I can't ask you a question?" She smiled. "No, I'm not with anyone." A grin spread across my face. Then I checked it. "I was just wondering." We stood and faced each other under a maple tree. "How about you? Are you with anyone?" she asked. I shook my head. The maple seeds whirled around us. I caught one on my palm. "We used to call these helicopters," I said, as I let it twirl to the ground. Edna ran her fingertips across the beard stubble on my cheek. I wish I had shaved before I'd gone to the gym. She touched my lips, my hair, my neck, as though she was searching for me with her hands. "Have I changed so much?" I asked her, afraid to hear her answer. She smiled and shook her head. "No, in a way, I don't know how anyone in the world could think you're a man, especially if they look into your eyes." With a light touch, she turned my face to hers. Then her hand settled on my chest like a bird's wings at rest. Our faces were very close. It felt to me as though my whole life was held in the balance of that moment. If Edna turned away from me, I don't know where I would have gone or how I would have found the strength to go on. But she didn't. She brought her lips near mine, allowed me to celebrate the moment before it began, and then gave me her mouth. All I had to offer was in that kiss. Edna's hands cupped the back of my head and pulled me to her. The kiss lasted until I stopped fearing it would end, and enjoyed it as a journey we'd just begun. Our lips didn't part until the wind splattered cold rain down on us from the branches above. She pulled away from me and began to walk. I caught up to her and took her hand. Our hands fit so comfortably that I sloughed off the first layer of my loneliness. "Are you hungry?" I asked her. She stopped and turned to me again. "I have to get home soon." My disappointment showed. "I'm sorry," she said. "Can I see you?" All my hopes rested on her reply. She hesitated and nodded. "Next Friday night." Friday? Today was Saturday, and I had trouble just killing an hour and a half until she'd gotten off work. Edna tugged on a branch overhead. A shower of raindrops fell on us. As I drove her home, her hands rested on my shoulders, the side of her face pressed against my back. "This is it," she pointed. I slowed and parked. "You sure you want to see me on Friday?" I needed reassurance. Edna stroked my cheeks. I couldn't really feel the touch of her fingertips on my skin. My stubble was too rough. For the first time since I'd grown a beard, I wished it would vanish. Edna nibbled at my mouth, pulled away when I moved forward, then drew me back in hungrily. "I'm so happy to see you, Jess." She sounded like she meant it. My feelings in my throat, I swallowed and nodded. "Meet me here? At 9 on Friday?" she asked. I nodded again and watched her walk up the sidewalk to her porch. She looked back and waved. Even after her front door closed and the lights came on behind her curtains, I didn't leave. A light rain fell on me. The wind carried autumn and the scent of fallen leaves. When the waiter walked away from our table, Edna leaned forward. "What's it like? Passing?" I could tell she wanted to ask me that all evening. All my life, I've been told there's something really wrong with me because of the way I am a woman. But if I'm a man, then I'm a nice young man. The way I am is just fine. Edna waited for more. "Some of it is fun. I was tied up so tight all the time as a he-she. It feels good to be free to do the little things like go to a public bathroom in peace or be touched by a barber. It's nice to be smiled at by strangers or flirted with at the lunch counter." Edna studied my face. "Then why are your eyes even sadder than I remember?" "Oh, I think..." I sighed. Edna interrupted me. "I'm interested in what you think, Jess, but tell me how you feel." I had forgotten how much I love femmes. Another butch would have nodded when I sighed, content the whole story had been articulated in the rush of air. But Edna pressed for words. I feel like a ghost, Edna, like I've been buried alive. As far as the world's concerned, I was born the day I began to pass. I have no past, no loved ones, no memories, no me. No one really sees me or speaks to me or touches me. Edna's eyes filled with tears. She reached forward and took my hand in hers. The waiter interrupted us. More coffee, sir? I shook my head. When he'd walked out of earshot, Edna told me, I feel like a ghost too, Jess. Should I still call you Jess? My smile felt shy. Sometimes people call me Jessie, and I don't correct them. You can call me whatever you want. Just try to remember the right pronouns in a public place. It could get real ugly. Edna sighed and nodded. I'd forgotten she was Rocco's lover, too. Did you know, Edna? I asked her. Did you know I would make the same decision Rocco made? Edna shook her head. I only knew your options were as few as hers, but when you were young, I recognized something in you that I'd seen in Rocco. I chewed my lower lip, waiting for the words of a woman who knew me. I don't know how to say this, and I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. She hesitated. Try, I urged her. Please, I need to hear it. I don't think femmes ever see butches as one big group. After a while, you see how many different ways there are for butches to be. You see them young and defiant. You see them change. You watch them harden up or be destroyed. Soft ones and bitter ones and troubled ones. You and Rocco were granite butches who couldn't soften your edges. It just wasn't your nature. Edna took a bite of food. I wish she'd hurry up chewing and continue. I love all the different ways butches can be. I love butches' hearts. But the ones I worry about most are the ones who aren't tough inside. I frowned and dropped my eyes. Edna leaned forward. You see, I hurt you. I'm sorry. You and Rocco both had beautiful hearts that were so easily hurt. And I loved you for it. But I didn't know how long you could survive. I think about her a lot, I told Edna. She stared at her plate and nodded. Me too. I'd give anything to talk to Rocco, I said, wishing Edna knew how to reach her. Edna smiled. I'll bet. I sat back in my chair and scuffed the rug with my shoe. I wish I could ask her a million questions. Edna leaned forward. What don't you know? I shrugged and played with my fork. I'm not sure how to survive this, I guess. Edna smiled gently. What makes you think Rocco knows? Her answer surprised me. I'm not like Rocco, I said. She's like a legend or something. She's so strong, so sure of herself. I don't feel that way at all. If I could just get to know her. Edna gently took the fork from my hand and put it down on the tablecloth. She rested her fingertips on my forearm. People get buried under legends. Rocco doesn't have all the answers. She's got questions, just like you do. She's trying to get through it the best way she can, just the way you are. That's what makes you both so strong. There's only one thing Rocco had that you don't have, Edna told me. I leaned forward. What? She smiled and said, I'll show you later. Was she always going to make me wait? Edna, where have you been all of these years? I asked her. She smiled and picked at her lasagna. After the bar scene changed, I stopped going. The butches I loved weren't there anymore. It was mostly university women. I started to feel embarrassed about showing up in a dress with makeup on. It seemed like everyone in the bar was wearing flannel shirts, jeans, and boots. That's not me. But there were no other places to go. few of us went to a dance on campus, she said, but we were dressed different. We danced different. She clenched her fist in anger. One of the women at the dance made fun of the butch I was with because she helped me off with my coat. I was so upset that we left right away. I nodded. My ex-lover Teresa worked up at UB. I remember getting mad and telling her how much I hated those women for rejecting us. She used to say, they're right about needing a revolution, but they're wrong to think they can do it without all of us. Edna shrugged. I know I'm not a straight woman, and lesbians won't accept me as one of them. I don't know where to go to find the butches I love or the other femmes. I feel completely misunderstood. I feel like a ghost too, Jess. For a long moment, we held a conversation without words. Our eyes welcomed each other home. The waiter brought the check to me, an automatic gesture. I chuckled. Edna frowned. What's so funny? Until I talked to you tonight, part of me really believed that everyone I knew was sitting in a bar somewhere together having a good time without me. We rode back to her home in silence. I wanted to touch her. I wanted to matter to her. And I ached to sleep safe with her body close to mine. I pulled up in front of her house. She took off the helmet and beckoned for me to follow her. I stood in her living room trying to know her through her home. She rummaged through the hall closet. I found it. She came back into the room smiling. There's only one thing Rocco had that you don't have. Armor. Edna handed me a heavy black motorcycle jacket gleaming with silver zippers. I took it in my hands. It was soft with wear. The right elbow was badly scuffed. That's where she skidded when she dumped her Harley on the way back from Niagara Falls. Edna fingered the sleeve. This was the jacket she loved almost as much as her bike. She called this her second skin. Edna's eyes glazed. She left it to protect me. That's what she said. It was so much a part of her that I could never bear to wear it. I couldn't speak. Try it on, Edna urged, holding the jacket up for me to slip into. It was heavy. The weight felt reassuring. It fits you perfectly. She pressed her knuckles to her lips. I opened my arms. She shook her head. I need to be alone. I'm sorry. I'm just not ready. I hope you understand. I didn't, but I was so afraid to lose her that I forced myself to smile and nod. I walked back out to my Harley and swung my leg over it. I heard my own power in the engine's roar. I drove away wearing Rocco's armor. Be careful, Edna shouted as the ladder tipped. I grabbed the metal tray before the paint inside of it could spill. Get down from there, Edna ordered. I climbed down and wiped my forearm across my forehead. Edna laughed. You just smeared paint on your face. Come here. She held my arm as she gently rubbed my forehead with a cloth. I clenched my biceps. I've been working out, I boasted. Edna suppressed a smile and said, I noticed. I didn't suppress mine. She kissed my lips. Thank you for helping me paint my living room. I smiled and shrugged. What are butches for? Contained in those four words were all my hurt and confusion over why, a month after we'd been reunited, Edna still wouldn't let me make love to her. Oh no, Edna said, shaking her head slowly. Butches are wonderful about lending a hand. That's not all you're good for. Butches have moved my world. They've made me feel beautiful when the world took that away from me. It's butch love that sustained me. My eyes filled with tears of gratitude and with the frustration of restraining myself from touching her. She stroked my face with fingertips that wanted me, and yet I couldn't be sure that her whole body wanted the same. You're so beautiful, she whispered. Handsome, I should have said. You are so handsome. I laughed. Oh, I'll take either right about now. All I saw was her mouth. So close to mine, I felt the warmth of her breath. Still, I didn't move towards her. Edna hesitated. I held my breath as I waited for her to come to me, hoping she would, fearing she wouldn't. She came into my arms, afraid, but trusting me, and I welcomed her with my embrace. Edna fumbled with the buttons on my paint-splattered shirt. We left it on the living room floor. In her bedroom, she unzipped my jeans. Only then did I allow my passion to meet hers. Once it began, all of our needs were unleashed. She knew exactly what she wanted, and she took me there, demanding everything from me that I could give. And I gave gladly, without restraint. Even as I touched her body with my mouth, with my hands, with my thighs, I knew it was not just pleasure I was trying to give her. It was all of my love. And as she alternately caressed me with her hands and dug her nails into my back, I could feel all of hers. I lay in her arms, dressed only in a t-shirt and briefs. Her fingernails drifted down my neck, across my shoulders. She smiled seductively. I'd forgotten the sheer pleasure of a high femme tease. Edna moved against me, tormenting me with her nails and her lips until I felt crazy with wanting more. Fear gripped my throat. I couldn't remember how to submit, but I wanted her to guide me there. Her nails trailed up the inside of one of my thighs. "I'm scared," I admitted out loud. She stopped touching me and lay still in my arms. Even after she'd fallen asleep in my embrace, I stared at the ceiling, longing for her to take me past my own fear and not knowing how to ask. Edna gasped with pleasure at the flowers I brought her. "Oh, irises, they're so beautiful." I kissed her on the cheek. "They remind me of you." Edna found the card I tucked inside. "Wait," I restrained her hand. Edna laughed. "What's wrong? Did you write something you shouldn't have?" I shifted my weight from foot to foot. "I wrote you a poem. I never did that before. Maybe you'll think it's stupid." Edna pulled my face against her neck and wrapped her arms around me. "Oh, honey, you wrote a poem for me? Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I don't even have to read it if you don't want me to." Femmes can be so smart about these things. Of course I wanted her to read it, especially since she was giving me a choice. "Oh, all right, go ahead and read it," I told her and braced myself for her reaction. I blushed because it surprised me when she read it out loud, but I liked the way her voice elevated my words. "As yellow leaves give way to the gentle insistence of the green, you touched my loneliness and my crisp brown husks yielded to a tender newness." Edna burst into tears. She kissed my face all over till my embarrassment subsided. "Oh, Jess, did you really write that for me? It's beautiful." "Edna," I whispered in her ear, "was that expressing a feeling?" Edna pulled back and held my face in her hands. Her lower lip trembled. "Oh, yes, honey, that was exactly what that was." We held each other and swayed to a music only we could hear. She took my hand and led me to her bedroom. I tried to make good love to her, but I couldn't read her body signals. All I got was static. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. Edna's nipple tightened like a bud and then blossomed in my mouth. I heard her gasp. One sob followed another. I brought my face near hers, and she grabbed my t-shirt in both fists. Her body shook violently. She buried her face against my neck and cried so hard it frightened me. I held her tight. "I can't," she said. "Shh, it's all right. Don't be mad at me," she pleaded. "I'm not," I whispered. "I'm not mad at you." Edna didn't say what was going on inside of her, and I was afraid to ask. A If I was undesirable, it was something I was in no hurry to find out. Besides, I'd been so unbearably lonely for so long that the sex didn't matter to me as much as this intimacy. I continued holding her and settled into the simple comfort that her closeness offered. We lay without speaking for a long, long time. I finally broke the silence with a question. Do you think I'm a woman? Edna got up on one elbow and looked at me. What do you think? She asked gently. I sighed. I don't know. There's never been many other women in the world I could identify with, but I sure as hell don't feel like a guy either. I don't know what I am, and it makes me feel crazy. Edna nestled against my shoulder. I know, honey, I really do. I don't think I've ever had a butch lover who hasn't felt torn up in the same way. Yeah, I shrugged. But it's different for me because I'm living as a man. I don't even know if I'm still butch anymore. She nodded. It's true that you and Rocco have a tough time figuring out how to be yourselves and still live. But believe me, honey, you are not alone in the feeling that you're not a man or a woman. I sighed. I don't like being neither. Edna moved her face close to mine. You're more than just neither, honey. There's other ways to be, either or. It's not so simple. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many people who don't fit. You're beautiful, Jess, but I don't have the words to help people see that. I wish everything could go back to the way it was, I told her. Edna looked off into the distance. I don't, she said. I don't want to go back to the bars and the fights. I just want a place to be with the people I love. I want to be accepted for who I am, and not just in the gay world. I felt left out of the fantasy. What about me? Can I be accepted too? Edna lifted my hand to her mouth and kissed my fingers. I'm not accepted till you are. I smiled. It's a nice dream. How do we make it happen? I don't know, she said. That's the problem. Edna stretched her thigh across my hip. Her lips rested on my t-shirt. I wish I could save you, she whispered. I wish I could be everything that's been taken away from you. I laughed. Just be my lover. Edna leaned on one elbow and looked me in the eye. You wish I could save you, don't you? No. I lied, afraid of losing her. She sat up. I don't know how you couldn't. It terrifies me when I think how little you have and how much you need. I don't have that much to give you. I rolled over and wrapped my arms around her waist. Then I'll try to need less. She grabbed a handful of my hair and pulled my head back until I looked her in the eyes. Oh, Jess. I'm so sorry I'm hurting you. Don't you think I know how much it's hurt you when I couldn't let you touch me after that first time? And I don't know how to tell you that it has nothing to do with you. Thanks a lot, I laughed bitterly. I'm the one you don't want, so it has plenty to do with me. All that means to me is that there's nothing I can do about it. Edna put her fingertips against my lips to silence me. Something's tearing me up inside, Jess, and I can't explain it. I sat up eagerly. Then talk to me. Edna, I could help. She shook her head. You can't fix it, sweetheart. Butches always want to fix the places that hurt. I sighed. If I can't make love to you and I can't fix what hurts you, then where is my butch magic? What can I give you? Edna smiled and settled back into my arms. Give me time, she said, and a little space. Edna noticed the buds on the trees at the zoo before I did. She rarely touched me anymore. I envied the way she touched them. We bought some peanuts and walked around aimlessly. I watched a tiger pace back and forth across his tiny cell. He dipped his head and roared. Sometimes I get the feeling that when no one's here, you talk to these animals and they answer you. I smiled. I'd walk into these cages without fear. Edna frowned. They could maul you without meaning to. I nodded, but I'm not afraid of them. We walked in silence till we came to the still pond where the ducks drifted and dunked. As we sat by the pool, I realized something was going to happen, and nothing could delay that moment from arriving. You know, began Edna, I've always waited for a butch to ride up on a horse and save me. I've always leaned on my butch when I felt weak. I cracked open peanuts, one after the other, and tossed them to the ducks. I knew better than to utter a word. Edna stared at the ducks for a long time without speaking. She pressed against my body. As she turned her face toward me, I could see the streaks of tears. I think I knew right then, but sometimes knowing comes in layers. I whispered her name out loud. We can work things out, I told her. She shook her head. I just can't be with anyone right now, Jess. I don't even know why. It doesn't make sense. If there were ever a hero, you could surely be mine. You're everything I ever wanted in a butch. You're strong and gentle. You listen and you try so hard. I love you so much, Jess. As Edna cried, she turned her face away from me. I didn't touch her. I longed to, but I knew I shouldn't. You know, I told her, the moments I remember most in my life are the ones where something happened that I didn't want to have happen, and I couldn't control it. Edna sniffled and nodded. I'm in a deep freeze, Jess, and somehow I have to save myself. You can't do it for me, and I don't know how. I'm so scared. I reached for her out of instinct, and she held me at arm's length with a light touch. Tears filled my eyes, but I reined myself in, knowing I had many nights ahead of me to grieve. Why? I asked her. I just don't understand why you can't try. She bit her lower lip. I am trying, Jess. I have tried. I just don't know what's happening to me. I'm just as lonely as you are. I need so much. That's what scares me. That and how much you need me. Oh, Edna, isn't there something I can do to keep you from leaving me? Isn't there anything I can do to change your mind? Edna shook her head. Tears streamed down her face. Oh, Jess, I love you so much. Please, believe me. I was relieved when she came into my arms to cry, until I realized she was letting me hold her for the last time. A wave of panic almost drowned me. I could feel in my gut what my life was like before Edna came back into it. Edna, I whispered. She covered my lips with her fingertips. I can't, she said. Edna held my face in both her hands and looked into my eyes. What will you do, Jess? Oh God, I wish I was strong enough to save us both. I looked away from her. I'll be fine, I heard myself say. We both laughed out loud. That was a very butch thing to say, wasn't it? I admitted. Oh, very, Edna laughed. We slipped back over the boundary of our laughter to tears. I wondered if she would have left me if there had been more inside of me to love, or if I just could have needed less. Edna kissed me on the mouth. If I had moved towards her, she would have pulled away. And so I held very still, and her kiss lingered a moment longer. She stood up. I'm so sorry, Jess. If pleading would have kept her in my life, I would have dropped to my knees. But I knew she wouldn't stay. Can I drive you home? I asked, hoping for the time to try to change her mind. She shook her head. I stood up and I let my lips memorize her forehead, her cheeks, her chin. I loved the way age had softened her face. Can I see you sometime, talk to you? She put her hand on my chest. Maybe at some point, not now. Her lips were close to mine. I kissed her hesitantly. She didn't draw away from me. For a moment, I felt her need. Then she pulled back. I watched Edna walk away from me. One at a time, I broke the shells of the peanuts. I threw some of them to the ducks and I ate the others myself. I felt more alone and afraid than ever before.